Chapter 38. Tragically, for history's sake, Dorothy Kilgallen is currently the forgotten one in any discussion today of the JFK or Oswald assassinations. In the so-called leading books on the subject, Case Closed by Gerald Posner, Legacy of Secrecy by Lamar Waldron and Tom Hartman, Killing Kennedy by Bill O'Reilly, and The Kennedy Half-Century by Larry J. Sabato, she is not even mentioned, or is mentioned solely in passing, on only one page. In addition, none of the books have published any actual excerpts from the Jack Ruby trial other than this one. This is quite disturbing, since explosive evidence clearly pointing to the absurdity of the Oswald alone theory has been absent from any viable debate of the assassinations. When an anniversary appears, the media continues to promote the same authors or so-called assassination experts who have, it would appear, never even read the transcripts. Sad, but true, historical-wise. Of those who have ignored the truth, author Gerald Posner, who wrote Case Closed, is without doubt the worst offender. Despite a boatload of evidence to the contrary, he has championed J. Edgar Hoover's Oswald Alone theory without having read, it would appear, any of Kilgallen's columns about the assassinations, the Ruby trial transcripts, or information about Kilgallen's interviews with Ruby. Nevertheless, he is paraded before the cameras, spouting his illogical notions whenever new information from the JFK assassination files is released. Thus, the total distortion of history perpetuated by Posner continues on, infecting young people who deserve to know the truth. Certainly, Kilgallen is never mentioned by Posner. Never was, never will be, since her compelling investigation based on primary sources conflicts with his bogus theory. Note, in 2018, after releasing portions of the JFK assassination files in April 2018, the current president of the United States displayed his ignorance of any semblance of truth about the assassinations by stating that he had done so to put any and all conspiracy theories to rest. Another of those who have distorted history is former Charles Manson prosecutor Vincent Bugliosi. He wrote of Kilgallen's investigation in his book Reclaiming History and completely misrepresented the facts, ignored her columns, and disregarded Kilgallen's exposure of Ruby's Warren Commission testimony before its release date. Bugliosi also discounted, actually made fun of, any notion that Kilgallen had interviewed Jack Ruby during his trial. He apparently never interviewed Ruby's co-counsel, Joe Tannehill, or read newspaper accounts, or Judge Joe Brown's book, confirming the interviews. Like many others, including J. Edgar Hoover, promoting the Oswald Alone theory, past and present, Bugliosi fit certain facts to the conclusions he wanted to reach, and dismissed credible facts in opposition to those conclusions. This accounts for his unfair treatment of Kilgallen and her pursuit of the truth. The only reason Bugliosi is not a media favorite anymore is because he is dead. The bottom line is that whoever silenced Kilgallen won, successfully accomplishing the ultimate goal. Her voice was never heard again. Even in today's world, when there is any mention of the assassinations, such as those bandied about when the government released a partial list of the JFK assassination files, in October 2017. Thus, she was never able in the 1960s, or certainly now, to dismiss all the crazy talk of Oswald alone, and instead proclaim that based on her research, what happened in Dallas in November 1963 was a plain and simple mob operation, start to finish. Instead of dwelling on the trajectory of the bullet or bullets that killed JFK, or whether the tree in front of Dealey Plaza blocked any shots from the sixth-floor window, or any of the ludicrous theories based on speculation, conjecture, and blatant internet untruths unsupported by any credible evidence, Kilgallen's common-sense theory should be the call of the day. If Dorothy Kilgallen had lived, the course of history would have been altered. Her place in history, a lasting legacy. I wonder if Ron Pataki sold Dorothy Kilgallen's information about the JFK assassination to some people. I also wonder why he didn't go to his best friend's funeral. This shocking statement was made by former NYPD homicide detective Richard Ramos, turned chief investigator of Kilgallen's homicide case, for the New York District Attorney's Office during a meeting with this author on June 1, 2017, at Hogan Place in New York City. A small conference room had been chosen for the discussion with Ramos, an impressive, medium-height man with both a serious and easygoing demeanor. He said he was excited about being involved in the investigation, since normally all I handle are embezzlement cases, ones like that. The dark-haired Ramos said the other detectives in his office were jealous that he was working with the DA's cold case unit. In top shape and armed with a distinct speaking voice that was all cop, he added that his dad was excited as well with Ramos being involved in the Kilgallen case. Ramos said his father had begun watching What's My Line reruns on television. At the start of the meeting, this author had presented Ramos with a 30-plus page evidence report, available at www.thedorothykilgallenstory.org. It included a chart listing the principals involved with Kilgallen's life and times and her death, a section entitled Reluctant or Scared Witness List, Withholding Evidence, a section entitled Credible Evidence, Information Regarding Kilgallen Case, outlining the salient facts regarding a potential prosecution of those responsible for her death, a 7-page new evidence summary as of June 1, 2017, listing 25 witnesses along with their statements, a 6-page relevant factors, evidence proving Dorothy Kilgallen victim of homicide, listing 31 factors. The incriminating poem written by Ram Pataki, entitled Vodka Roulette, Seen as Relief Possibility. During the meeting, Ramos confirmed that he had read The Reporter Who Knew Too Much and very much enjoyed it. He said he had watched the more than 50 interview videos about Kilgallen's life and times and her death, posted on the DorothyKilgallenStory.org. When asked why he was heading up an investigation, he said it came from his superior, District Attorney Cyrus Vance Jr. Throughout the conversation, Detective Ramos referred to Kilgallen as a victim. When this author mentioned that she should be treated like any other person who died mysteriously, whether it was 5 days, 5 years, or 50 years ago, while discussing other victims he had dealt with who were scared to come forward, Ramos nodded in agreement. He mentioned his frustration with previous cases involving a beautiful woman who was found sitting up in bed after taking 60 pills, and the murder of a guy found in a trunk by a dope dealer who led police to the body, but no witnesses would come forward to help solve the murder. When this author noted Kilgallen's family members, including Jill, Dickie, and Carrie, being uncooperative, he said, "This happens a lot when the family or friends of the victim may feel they are in jeopardy." Regarding Brenda DeJordan, after this author explained her reluctance to cooperate, this happened before this author's interviews, he agreed that he might be successful with her and other witnesses, since the DA's office was now involved. Toward the end of the meeting, he said, "I've already sent out some subpoenas," meaning that his investigation was certainly ongoing. Besides Ramos's observation of, "I wonder if Ron Pataki sold Dorothy Kilgallen's information about the JFK assassination to some people," of special interest was his reaction when this author told him that during one long telephone interview with Pataki, it appeared he was close to confessing his culpability in Kilgallen's death. This happened when it was explained to Pataki that Kilgallen obviously loved him, and as her wonderful, wonderful friend, did he not want to tell the truth about what happened to her when she died? His part in that occurring? this author told Ramos, there was a pregnant pause before Pataki moved on to another subject, a chance lost for him to confess his part in her death. At the suggestion that the detective might be successful in breaking down Pataki and securing a confession from him when an interview took place, Ramos agreed this could be possible, even to the extent of making a note about this happening. Why had this author and Detective Ramos met? And why had Ron Pataki's name become a principal part of the discussion? Based on the extensive research into Kilgallen's life and times, and the fact that no investigation into how she died occurred in 1965, despite an apparent staged death scene and other irregularities, it became apparent an investigation was called for in 2017. To that end, this author sent a lengthy letter to New York District Attorney Cyrus Vance Jr., son of the former Secretary of State, requesting such an investigation despite the enormous odds against that happening over 50 years after the death of one of the most remarkable women in media history. The letter read to Vance Jr. in part, regarding media icon Dorothy Kilgallen murdered. Investigation warranted. Suspect still at large. Dear Mr. Vance, as an attorney licensed in California and thus an officer of the court, I have a duty to report what I believe to be a crime, especially if a main suspect exists who is still at large today. This duty, I contend, extends to a crime committed, whether it was 5 days ago, 5 years ago, or over 50 years ago, as is the situation here, since there is no statute of limitations regarding murder. During the course of my 3-year biographical research regarding Pulitzer Prize-nominated journalist, investigative reporter, television celebrity, and New York City resident Dorothy Kilgallen, I have discovered compelling evidence warranting the view that her death in 1965 was not accidental, but a case of homicide. This new evidence also points to her murder as having been effectively covered up, twice in fact, by those involved, which includes strong indication at the time of her death of corruption in the New York City Medical Examiner's Office. With this new evidence in mind, reopening Kilgallen's case is judicially responsible. Even though the events surrounding her death are now 5 decades old, I do not believe your office's reopening the investigation will result in futile posturing. There are strong leads based on credible witnesses, and a primary suspect is still alive. Letters to Vance Jr. are available at thedorothykilgallenstory.org. The plan on this author's end was clear. Provide the DA's office with the mountains of evidence proving Kilgallen did not die accidentally or commit suicide, but was indeed murdered, so that Vance Jr. and his colleagues could launch an investigation, and by doing so, announce this verdict to the public. This logical conclusion would once and for all restore Kilgallen's reputation, that she was not a drug addict or an alcoholic, but had died at the hands of others who were threatened, common sense dictated, by her exposure of those complicit in the JFK assassination. Certainly a verdict concluding that Kilgallen was murdered would also strongly enhance the veracity of Kilgallen's 18-month assassinations investigation, as noted, the most compelling and credible in history. Without doubt, this brave reporter had it all, as her close friends Mark Sinclair and Charles Simpson verified. While clearing Kilgallen's name was of paramount importance, so that her JFK assassination evidence could be given the respect it deserved after being buried for 5 decades, another primary goal was to locate Kilgallen's assassination file, missing since she died. The fresh evidence had proven that in all likelihood, husband Richard did not possess the file, and Brenda DeJordan's first-hand disclosures that FBI agents had confiscated boxes of Kilgallen's papers and documents permitted hope that the file might still be discovered perhaps in the FBI archives, at the NYPD, or another location. With help from the DA's office, its influence, its power to subpoena documents, to potentially convene a grand jury to retrieve the file, there was a good chance it could be found, permitting disclosure of historical material that might be studied by assassination scholars truly interested in the truth about what happened in Dallas in 1963. If so, many of the distortions of history so prevalent since JFK died might finally be put to rest. In addition, the expectation was that the plethora of primary source evidence proving Kilgallen's last lover, Ron Pataki, including incriminating evidence from his own mouth and hand, was complicit in her death would result in his indictment, where his possible guilt, along with that of other suspects in her death, could be evaluated. At long last, the one man who knew what had happened to the courageous reporter would be investigated, and, if found culpable, receive the justice he deserved, at the same time Kilgallen would receive the justice she deserved, after so long being denied justice. With these goals in mind, one may only imagine this author's excitement when Susan Adelman of the New York Post announced on January 29, 2017, Manhattan DA's office probing death of reporter with possible JFK ties. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office is looking into the mysterious death 51 years ago of newspaper writer and What's My Line star Dorothy Kilgallen, who was investigating the JFK assassination, the Post has learned. The stunning development comes after a new book, The Reporter Who Knew Too Much, suggests Kilgallen was murdered to shut down her relentless pursuit of a mafia don linked to JFK and Lee Harvey Oswald. Joan Valero, a spokeswoman for D.A. Cyrus Vance Jr., confirmed that a staffer has read the book and reviewed a letter from author Mark Shaw citing new leads, medical evidence, and witnesses overlooked when Kilgallen, 52, died suddenly on November 8, 1965, at the peak of her career. I'm hopeful DA investigators will probe any records available and interview witnesses still alive today who can shed light on what happened to this remarkable woman, Shaw told the Post, which featured his findings last month. Victims have rights, whether their name is Dorothy Kilgallen or Dorothy Doe, and Kilgallen was denied justice in 1965. That's why I'm fighting for her. Shaw said he has received dozens of emails from readers demanding an official investigation. One called her a patriot, who should be revered for risking her life to solve the JFK assassination. Interest in Kilgallen's case around the world was evidenced by there being more than 235,000 hits for the online article and thousands more who read the print edition. Emails poured into this author, supporting the DA office's determination to launch an investigation.